everyone, and welcome back to another episode of In the Rearview Mirror.
A supernatural retrospective.
No, it's not, though. It's Dusty L.
Fuck! What did we say the first time?
So this is not... I mean, it kind of is. This is kind of like a continuation of our retrospective. It is. It's not the same of our regular episodes that we watch every week of In the Rearview Mirror, a supernatural retrospective. However, this is the... I guess, technically, part three, but also it's season 7 and season 8 of Supernatural, of Dean and Cass's relationship.
In the Rearview Mirror, a Destiel retrospective.
Yes, yes. I don't really know what part this is. We had part 1 and part 2. I don't know if
we're... Yeah, of seasons 4 and 5, because that was...
But I don't know about season 6 and 7. Yeah. Part of 7.
Yeah, part 6, part 1, and then part 2 of that, because, of course, we talk for 9 fucking hours.
Mm-hmm. This one's also going to be 9 fucking hours.
Oh, it's great. A lot of hours,
but we are your hunter hosts, though. Still,
mm-hmm.
I'm Graham.
I'm Sierra,
and we're gonna be talking about, like we said, Destiel or Dean Cass, or however you want to label it as.
Whatever you want to say. We've been here for a while, so we're gonna call it Destiel. If you want to call it Dean Cass, you're free to do so.
Yeah. Funny enough, I actually just saw a post on it that Dean and Cass, or the Dean Cass labeling, is supposed to be also for non-romantic. I don't know, and so that's why people were kind of turned off to that idea of using that. I just found that a little interesting.
Huh. Well, this is gay as fuck, so it's Destiel.
Yeah.
So they're romantically involved.
Again, if you're here, you must be listening for Destiel. This is about Dean and Cass's relationship romantically. However, because we're talking about season 8, they're... Why are you laughing like that?
Well, there's so much stuff to talk about.
Because season 8, we're kind of talking about not just Dean and Cass's relationship. We're trying to bring evidence from the text of why we believe this. Obviously, spoilers for the end of the series, Cass does come out as gay.
He comes out as in love with Dean Winchester.
Yes, we talked about this again, about however Cass is labeled as.
However he identifies.
He's gay, whatever, that's a very umbrella term. I don't care, however you want to label yourself, go for it. So, I lost my train of thought. Hold on, it's coming.
Choo-choo. That wasn't supposed to be funny.
It's really fucking funny. Oh, hold on. But we also wanted to explore why we think Dean... You know, is labeled as bi for the fandom that we say, and we want to explore his other relationships that he's had, and why, again, give reason from the text that we believe that this may be true.
He gets a vampire side piece this season.
Yeah, yeah. He gets a vampire side piece.
Someone called Benny that, and I'm like, that's the funniest thing I've ever heard in my life.
But it's 100% true.
Listen, Benny, honey. I love you. Dean thinks you're great, but like, listen, Dean and Cass is the greatest love story ever told, okay, mm-hmm. honey? You can't get in the middle of that. And he gets it, you know?
Oh, yeah. Anyway, starting off, we ended our last season 6, season 7, kind of when Cass dies, because we thought that was a good jumping off point for season 8, because it kind of relates a little bit more, because Cass isn't really there a lot in season 7. What am I talking about? He's not there in all of season 7, pretty much.
Nope, he was fired.
3 episodes, yeah. But I did want to mention last time, we did talk about how Cass dies, right? Of course, Dean's very upset. He kept the trench coat, which is very telling for Dean. We'll get into that a little later. And then in the last episode also, we talked about how when Bobby's house was blown up and Dean was looking for Bobby, he calls him and says, you know, if you're dead, you can't be dead, because I'm going to take my beautiful-minded brother... Whatever that quote was.
My beautiful mind, brother.
And drive us off a cliff. Yeah. And so in my mind, we're sitting here going, okay, well, Dean is very upset because now not only has he lost Cass, but he has now lost Bobby, and Sam has lost his mind because of Cass. So he cannot deal with that at this point.
Dean basically alone.
Yes, he would be alone. We find out, of course, Bobby is not dead, but that's not really the point of this matter. I just wanted to bring that up before going forward.
Dean is upset and suicidal basically because Cass is dead now.
Yes, it gets into that because he is drinking a lot.
A lot.
He's drinking so much to the point where I thought this was interesting, and I didn't remember when we first watched the show, I think, because, you know, you take it first for granted, and when you rewatch episodes, I feel like you're not watching them in order, at least I didn't really,
right?
Because I had already seen it, and I knew the canon, and I knew the story, so it didn't really matter to me to rewatch it that way.
Mm-hmm.
However, I think it's very telling, because Sam tells Dean, and kind of hints, I guess is kind of what I'm saying, that he has a problem, and then he outright just tells him, like, dude, you're really drinking in the middle of a scene, like you brought the flask here and everything, or hey Dean, maybe you should go interview the people at the AA meeting. Maybe take a hint from those people
AA
as well.
AA gives me the jeebs.
Yeah. So
excuse.
I think it's very interesting that Sam knows, based on everything they have been through, Sam is telling him now that his alcoholism is a problem.
It's interesting that he tells him now, because Sam will be like, yeah, okay, I kind of get it. But Dean's literally waking up out of and being like, a drink?
Yeah. Having more nightmares now.
He's very upset.
And we see them nightmares about kind of everything. I wanted to say that the first nightmare we see as the audience is Cass going into the lake. And then it's Sam, of course, because of course that's traumatic because his best friend slash lover, we're going to say in this sense, hurt his brother. And then, of course, Dean killing Amy. I'm going to get into that in a second about that aspect. But I think it is very interesting that, yeah, Dean...
Right, yeah, because Sam comments that it's like, bud, this is a lot. Maybe you should relax. I also think he's at the, even when he's at that bar drinking at like 7-4,
mm-hmm.
and the bartender's like, love life or job? And Dean's like, it's complicated. And I'm like, because it's both.
Yeah, I think it's hard.
He gets
a
double. Like,
and I guess you could say it's his family. He would do this with Sam, but... It's weird because it's different, I want to say. And of course, we're looking at this through a different lens of them being in this relationship romantically. Or, and I guess in my eyes, it's just different. I guess I wanted to bring the proof forward as because Dean does impulsive things when Sam dies. He sold his soul. When, unfortunately, Bobby dies later, he does drink some more. But he almost gets over it, not quickly, but in a different way when that is shown as family.
Mm-hmm.
And then same thing later with Benny. It doesn't seem it's the same grieving process,
right.
I would say.
Right, exactly.
It's different.
Right. Well, here's the thing, too, is that he's going to go hook up with that bartender that mm-hmm. he was talking to, right? But he's like giving himself this pep talk. He's like, you're mm-hmm. Dean Winchester. This is what you do. Like, his heart's not in it, okay? His coping mechanism of...
He wants to say, this is what you do. You gotta be straight. You gotta hook up with women. Gotta do this. This is Dean Winchester.
It's just one of his comfort sort of... Drinking and sex and food are his comfort...
Well,
activities. Really.
Honestly, that you say that.
And it's interesting that sex is a problem for him this time after Cass dies instead of like any other time. What?
In my mind, I think sex with women is easy though, because he's done it.
Well, yeah, it is easy.
So for him, he's like, ah, it's easy. But him having feelings for maybe potentially his best friend or a man is very hard for him to swallow.
Yeah, of course.
So I think, of course, that's stressful for him when he could just be with women. He could have just been with Lisa and it was easy. It was fine. He knew how to charm women, he knew how to sleep with women.
This is what you do. This is what you're comfortable doing. Like,
yes.
This is, you've done this a million times, blah, blah, blah. This is what you want.
He doesn't want to put himself out there because he could potentially get hurt. Because
yeah.
Cass is a man, technically, that he sees and an angel. So right. It's kind of hard to be in this weird relationship. And also, he apparently doesn't trust him because he's had all this stuff from the man who will be king. He had trust issues with him. So now he's kind of spiraling in that sense. So there's a lot going on in Dean's mind.
The Impala couldn't fit all of that man's baggage.
Seriously. That's a good metaphor.
It's just facts, bud.
That's a great metaphor.
Like 10 babies couldn't fit all his damn suitcases of baggage. We're doing actually kind of okay. And I was like, oh, hell yeah. And I can
for
work this fucking...
That, like, I'm like, dude, I'm fucking drunk, but apparently I'm more articulate.
Bruh, yeah.
Like, as I told Paul,
about,
yeah, I can only play pool, 3 beers in me.
Yeah, you gotta have some...
I went 3 beers. I was like, did I do 2? And I was like, no,
beers.
3 beers
the
in
weird
me.
Non, like, instead of this, it's like this, the okay sign.
So really quick before we really move on to with other things. So Cass is dead in this sense. And so Dean is left to suffer... Not the consequences, but just to suffer along this. So I just wanted to say that, and I think it's very interesting. So Cass dies, we have the whole thing with Bobby in the same episode, which I kind of forgot what happened in the same episode.
Yep.
And then the episode right after, episode 7-3, we have that whole episode with Amy, who's the, I don't even remember what monster she is, but that whole thing with Sam, and Dean kills Amy, even though she really doesn't
big
need to die. In my mind, I think this is telling because now that Cass is dead, Dean is reverting back to his old behavior of monsters are all black and white. Especially, I wanted to bring up the point of Cass betrayed them and betrayed Dean's trust.
Big oof.
And Dean doesn't trust angels. He has said this Past, present, and future. He does not trust angels. Doesn't. What about Cass, though? Cass is different, though. So in my mind, I'm thinking that... Yeah, it's Cass. In my mind, I'm thinking he has been betrayed by this angel who is now a quote-unquote monster in Dean's book, or how I would label him as. And so now he has to go back to all monsters are evil. They cannot be trusted because look what Cass has done. So therefore, I have to kill Amy.
He does regress a little bit.
Yeah, he goes back. And to me, that's the only explanation for a character... In this sense, mm-hmm. However, if the writers didn't write this way because they didn't confirm that Dean was bi and he was in love with Cass, so they're just shoehorning Dean's character arc in this way to create the drama, which is what I don't like.
I mean, it could kind of make a little bit of sense because, yeah. You know, even if they weren't, Dean didn't view Cass romantically, it's still his bestie and he still was betrayed and it made him super sad and upset. As we will continue to see in the rest of season 7.
And I guess in my mind, I guess, yes, you are 100% correct here. Because I do believe if you didn't want to see this in a romantic sense, it would make sense that, yeah, I'd be a little upset if you died.
He's still pretty puppin' upset.
I would be very upset. So it's no longer a coincidence that it keeps on happening over the same things with Cass. It happens, you know, the whole saying, once, it's an accident. Twice, it's a coincidence. Three... It's a pattern.
It's intentional.
It's intentional. So I just kind of wanted to bring that up just to be like, look, marked here. This is odd, right? It's odd character behavior. And I know Supernatural likes to do things just for the fuck of it and or the pup of it, the drama. So it's kind of this in-between of is this real or is this just for the drama? I'm going to say it's kind of both. I want to bring it up. It's still canon. I think it's pertinent to listen to.
I think it's fair. I think it's both.
Yes.
You know, you could read this platonically, but also, I mean, in 7-6 slash fiction, Dean does sing soulfully, heartfelt.
Oh, yeah.
With the song, I'm all out of love. I'm so lost without you.
Yeah, I feel like I'm humming that all the time.
It's
now.
A little, it's on the nose there, but and I mean, it's a Thompson episode. He gets it, so.
And I think Sam is the one changing the channels, right? And he goes, oh, man, I'll change it for you. It's fine.
He's like, it's
Dean
fine.
Says, it's fine.
Leave it. There's probably nothing else on. Yeah. And so. Sam is nice enough to not mention it.
Yeah.
Because he notices he's singing it.
And that's with, especially with the drinking, I know Sam knows this is going on, but I just don't think he realizes.
He fully gets it.
Yeah, like what Dean is going through. And I think he thinks it's a little odd because if we think back to Man Who Would Be King, Bobby and Sam were the first ones to suss Cass out when Dean implicitly believed and trusted Cass and didn't think he could do anything wrong.
I got a couple more things on our path through season 7, which made us sad because Cass wasn't in it.
Okay. I probably did too at the time.
But you know who was more upset that Cass wasn't in it? Dean. Dean was more upset that Cass wasn't in it.
Yes.
So we go like, after slash fiction, we get to the next episode, The Mentalist. That was fun, the psychic town, blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
So remember, Ellen has a message. A psychic tells Dean, he's got a message from Ellen, right? And it's to tell Dean that Dean needs to tell somebody how bad he's doing. Because Ellen knows that Dean is doing so horrible right now.
That's huge, that someone beyond the grave is saying Dean. And Ellen knew him during the apocalypse, the epitome of the end of the world.
Supposedly the worst point in his lifetime, you know.
And
what
now
I mean?
We have Ellen and Sam at this point say, Dean, maybe you should go to an AA meeting. Hey, maybe you should talk to someone about this. And the thing is, I was going to bring this up later. Dean's person who he talked to about stuff was Cass. Yeah. And Cass is gone now.
Where's Dean's person?
So who is he going to talk to about this? He's not going to talk about Sam.
I can't talk to Sam.
Because it's probably about Sam. You know what I mean?
Talk to Sam about Sam.
So, yeah. Okay, continue. What else did you have? I'm very interested.
Well, I also have... I don't remember who said this. I think it was the person who brought them there for the case. I remember it was something about, like, psychic sisters or something.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever. Either way, somebody says this quote. I get that no matter how bad someone is, you just can't sort of move past it.
Oh.
Which is... obviously what's going on with Dean here. Like, you can't hurt them. You couldn't. There's nothing you could do about it. You could just kind of deal with it.
Yeah, because Dean... I guess. Because, well, Cass died almost with a bad taste in Dean's mouth.
Right.
Does that make sense? Like, he wasn't really able to forgive him. He died thinking either Dean didn't trust him or whatever, or Dean wasn't able to say...
everything he wanted to say. Because he did say that he kind of, you know, it's whatever, Cass... we'll figure it out, blah, blah, blah.
And not even that, it's just over. That in The Man Who Will Be King, I go back to that, is saying that Dean trusted him wholeheartedly, and all of a sudden it was ripped from him that he couldn't trust him because he was this monster, and he didn't know, he was very confused on what he was feeling, and then all of a sudden he's dead. That's a lot of emotions for Dean to go through.
It was a lot. It was a lot of
whiplash. You don't know how you feel. I wouldn't know how I felt if all of a sudden someone you trusted, like the rug was pulled out from under you. Mm-hmm. And then you're sitting here going, how am I supposed to feel? But you still feel that you care for this person, right? Yeah. Regardless of the inclination, obviously. Right. You still love this person. You still care for this person. You wouldn't want them dead. And then all of a sudden, they're gone.
Right.
You had no way you thought you were going to get out of this. And then you thought everything was going to be good. And then they died. And they never came back. You didn't have time to say, I'm sorry. He couldn't bury the body. He got to keep his coat. It's a lot going on, yeah.
There's not a lot of closure there.
Yeah, and so I think, yeah, with the whiplash and the rug pulling out from under you, and there's no closure, Dean's feeling a lot.
And you know, ever since Cass, he's had a hard time trusting anybody. And ever since Cass, he's had a hard time trusting anybody.
Yeah, because, yeah, Dean... Not that he was overly trustworthy with people. Once you had that loyalty with Dean...
It's his whole heart.
It's his whole heart. But Dean knows when to be loyal or not.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was very hard, I think, for Dean to get over that. I do agree with you there.
Oh, it's always going to be rough for Dean. And so a couple episodes after that, we get How to Win Friends and Influence Monsters. This is an Edlund episode. And Edlund, he just puppin gets it.
Mm-hmm. I love about the puppin.
Yeah. It's so funny. So, I don't remember the context for this, but Dean says, maybe the world wants to end. Mm-hmm. Why not let it? Which, Dean, honey, you fought to save the world, but now that Cass isn't in it, it's not worth it? Interesting.
Yeah, this whole episode was a little weird. I do remember when him on the turducken sandwich is just, oh my God. I don't care, but I don't care. Ooh. Yeah, I know, seriously. And again, I guess you don't have to take that in a romantic inclination, but I feel like...
Cass would be the last straw for him. Either way, they're besties, and that was the last straw for Dean.
Yeah.
He's over it. And Bobby and Sam are really worried about him.
Yeah, I do remember that.
They have that whole conversation in that van about him. It's like, I mean, ever since Cass, blah, 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 he's totally messed up. He's drinking so much.
Mm-hmm.
Bobby gets very mad at him. I remember that. Telling him to knock it off.
Well, and the thing is, too, and that's exactly what I keep saying, is that Dean wanted his person to talk to who wouldn't judge him, who would maybe help him give advice, or who would just stay there and just say, hey, you know what, Dean, you're human. Because I think that's maybe also that Dean really liked about Cass, is that Cass, because he was not human, he was an angel, Cass looked to Dean as this beautiful creature almost, because he also wasn't human. He was the righteous man, you know what I mean?
Hell yeah.
So it was different, and so Dean, I think, liked talking to Cass because Cass was his person to talk to. He gave him good advice. He never really looked down on him. Bobby, you know, gets angry and saying all this stuff, and he's like, I just want someone to talk to, but I can't talk to Sam because Sam looks at him with pity, and he doesn't want Sam to think less of him. And Bobby isn't really giving him the heartfelt stuff, you know, no chick flick moments, when really Dean wants that. And Cass doesn't play this game because, you know, Cass doesn't know. And Dean, in my mind, always doesn't say anything to Cass because he wants that. Normal human interactions. No guy's gonna have a chick flick moment with Dean and talk about their feelings. But Cass doesn't know better. So Cass is just gonna do it. And Dean's not gonna tell him no.
Right.
Because he needs that.
Mm-hmm.
And so I do, yeah, I agree with you. I think that's...
He needs his person.
He needs his person, yeah.
Whether romantically or not, he needs his person and he's missing him.
Mm-hmm.
And speaking of Cass being Dean's person... Dean begins to very much miss having conversations that aren't with, I don't know, Sam or Bobby or anyone kind of...
Familiar, we'll say that right. Word, I guess.
Yeah, sure. So I feel like it's funny that he's kind of like trying to hold a conversation about random stuff with his ME. They're talking about like co-pays and stuff. Like Dean doesn't really chat up the medical examiners usually, except about like case stuff. So I thought that was kind of weird because he's like desperate to talk to anybody. He just wants to talk.
Yeah, I guess you're right.
And he's, you know, I mean, I'm like, I don't know if he's desperate to talk to somebody or he's trying to distract himself from like what's going on.
I think actually that's huge because I'm even thinking, you know, you could live with someone forever and ever, but you wouldn't want to be stuck in your house, especially with this whole pandemic that's going on. It's like, yeah, it's been fun to hang out with whoever in this house, but you get a little stir crazy after a while.
You need a little variety.
You need to talk to some other people. It's fun to talk to some other people.
Right.
So I do. Yeah, I agree with you
there. Yeah, I thought that was like a little tidbit. And then, I mean, in a few episodes later, we'll get into that when he sees Cass again. But at this point, Bobby has died. And Sam's talking to Dean about, you were really wobbly after Cass, but then this whole Bobby thing, and like, you've gone off the rails, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, you really didn't have to make the Cass grief part of the Bobby arc.
Yeah.
But you chose to do that. I mean, it makes sense because it's like building on like problems, but you're just like, you know, you were really messed up after Cass, and now it's really bad after Bobby.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know. I mean, really, it's, you know, they're friends or whatever, but I just think it adds to the fact that Dean is so messed up about this, and then adding Bobby's death on top of that is just too much.
I always think it's funny, though, because if you see Dean after Cass's death, he is messed up for episodes and episodes and episodes and episodes. Bobby, yes, he is still messed up, and there's other circumstances that happen because they're trying to kill Dick Roman, and then also Bobby does come back as spirit, so there is closure there.
Mm-hmm.
So there is that whole difference that Dean didn't get closure with Cass, but he did kind of get closure with Bobby.
Right.
It's almost different, though. I always compare when he lost John. Yeah, he was really messed up, but we had to look at, in between the lines at that. I remember when we were going through this, we were saying, oh, well, he's messed up here because of John.
Mm-hmm.
He is still grieving John's death, but it wasn't right out there for us to interpret. Mm-hmm. Right here, Dean is drinking a lot. Dean is having nightmares about Cass. Dean is getting messages from the other side that he is really, really messed up. Mm-hmm. We never had that with John, or we never had that with Bobby, right. But it always was with Cass. We never got to see that with Sam because either Dean brought him back,
yep,
or he was with Lisa.
Yeah.
But in my mind, Dean shut down because he was with Lisa. That's a whole separate thing.
Sure.
But
why is Cass different?
Why is Cass different? Yeah.
That's always the question here of when we're trying to, I guess, pull evidence from the text. And I mean, you can, of course, interpret this in different ways. This is, our way is not the only way to interpret their relationship, blah, mm-hmm, blah, blah, whatever. I mean, let's look at the facts, y'all.
Like I said, I always stand by the Lisa thing. If Dean were to lose Lisa, I think it would have been different than Cass, though. And that, I think, is the huge part.
Yeah.
Yes, he would have been upset, but at the time, I don't think... We've gone over this. I think Dean wanted the apple pie life, and he just attached himself to Lisa because it made sense at the time. He liked Ben. Lisa was grateful to him and cared for him, actually.
It wasn't a bad choice.
No, it wasn't bad, but I think it's just different because Cass accepted him completely.
Cass knows everything about him and accepts him completely as he is.
Yes.
He loves him for who he is.
So.
And he knows exactly who he is.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. So that's why I think it's different when losing Cass, even though if it wasn't a romantic relationship, it's still a huge relationship in Dean's life.
And it was a choice to stick with him because, again, Dean's abandonment issues. And it's, so Cass isn't technically family or whatever. He's not blood related. And so Cass's decision over and over again to stick by Dean's side, Dean and Sam, you know, mostly Dean, is huge.
I was just gonna say that.
Cass keeps picking Dean over everything, over and over again.
I was gonna say that, but in the reverse, that Dean doesn't have to stay with Cass or trust Cass because he's not family, but Dean chooses to do that. It made sense in Lisa's mind why Dean was so distraught over Sam, because that's his brother. That makes sense. That's his family.
Mm-hmm.
But Cass, why does this make any sense?
Explaining,
it was just some dude that he met a few years ago.
Explaining that to anybody wouldn't make any sort of sense.
Like, it's one thing unless if you're like, yeah, my best friend died. But if you said my best friend died, you're like, oh, sorry, condolences, you know, oh, there you go, pat on the back. But if you say, oh, my spouse died, my husband, my wife died, people, I feel like, lose their minds instead. They're I couldn't even believe that. I couldn't imagine that pain.
It's that much
I say deeper. That, but even though if you said your best friend died, they'd say, oh, the same thing. They say the same thing, but it's different, though, because there's a more intimate
sort of bond, sort of
relationship.
Understanding, whatever.
Exactly.
You know, it's just like it hits a little bit harder and a little bit deeper there, which is a great transition into an episode that I enjoyed, but you hated, Repo Man. Again, an Edlund episode.
Yeah.
And so it was Jeffrey, and he liked that demon, and he turned him into a serial killer or whatever. Well, he was technically a serial killer, but then he didn't start killing people till he was possessed. But so Jeffrey says, after the demon left him and everything, says, I was depressed, an empty shell, a drunk, I was suicidal. And I'm like, sound like anybody we know after Dean loses Cass. Yeah. Like, it was like this whole parallel there. And I'm like, wow, you really the nail on the head with Dean's grief about Cass. I mean, losing someone who's like a part of him, who's so important to him, who showed him, I don't know, a new perspective, a new life sort of thing. Like, who was just so influential in his life and then was gone.
Was like ripped from him.
Was ripped from him. Like, exactly.
The demon, yeah.
Exactly. And so I was like, oh, interesting there.
I didn't notice that parallel.
Yeah.
That's great, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm like, interesting.
So finally, when Cass does return in the show, I think it is very interesting of the waves that Dean goes through, because he meets Manuel, he's very excited because it's Cass, and then he realizes it's not him.
Shook, then shattered.
Yeah, yeah. But I think as Emmanuel is talking, Dean sees Cass. When he's talking to Emmanuel about Cass, he's saying all this stuff, and Emmanuel is kind of agreeing and saying stuff that Cass would say. So I think Dean knows deep down that even though Cass betrayed his trust back in season 6, he had the right reasons. And I knew at the end of season, I know at the beginning of season 7, Dean did know, I think, deep down inside where Cass's loyalties did lie. Because Cass did come back to him at the end of season 6, trying to explain, trying to say this. Come on, believe me, I'm trying to do the right thing. I know it looks bad, but I'm trying to do it. I just wish you had the support that I did. Mm-hmm. And of course, Dean didn't trust him because Cass didn't trust him with this issue in the first place. So I think Dean seeing Emmanuel acting exactly like Cass was back in season 4, it makes sense that he just sees, this is how Cass is. Memory without memory. This is who he is as a root of a person. He's trying to be helpful. Look, he's pretending to be a healer.
Fundamentally, this is who Cass is. He's a good guy who wants to just help people.
Yeah, exactly.
That's just who Cass is. And boy, oh boy, does Dean open up to him immediately.
Yes, and I think that's huge that he just opens up immediately. And again, Cass being Dean's person just gives him that good advice, just listens to him, says the things that Dean wants to hear, that you are human, you're not a machine. And that Cass almost sees this other side to Dean. Emmanuel, let me change the two. Emmanuel does see Dean as being angry, but he really sees that anger being hurt and saying you're human, you're allowed to feel those things, that like I said, you're not a machine. In my eyes, a machine is just doesn't have two emotions of happy and anger. It is going through all of this. Human is a wide range of emotions, so hurt being the root cause of that. I always like when I see that post of people think I'm angry when really anger is falled under a lot of different categories of frustration, hurt.
Spectrum.
Exactly. Because anger shows itself as one way. It's hard to define what you're actually feeling. Dean feels angry, but however, he's probably just really hurt and frustrated.
Betrayed.
That all this, betrayed. Exactly. Mm-hmm. And I really like that here, that finally Dean is able to open up to Cass. Or open up to anyone, because like you said earlier, he tries to open up to Bobby, and Bobby just says, yo, shut up, princess, I did this. And Dean's kind of sitting there going, like, what the hell, man? I want someone who's not going to treat me like big macho Dean that I've done this. I need someone to say, hey, it's okay. Yeah, he could talk to Sam about this stuff, but Sam also doesn't give him the advice that he's looking for. You know, I feel like everyone does this. You tell a friend something and you're kind of feeding that friend of what you want to hear. Mm-hmm. And Cass did that for Dean.
Right.
Dean says, you know, I'm feeling that I'm not worthy. And Cass would turn around and say, Dean, what are you talking about? You're worthy. Yeah, you're the righteous man. You're human. You're great. Blah, blah, blah. And Dean goes, yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Thanks, Cass. I really appreciate that. I needed that. When Sam, in turn, says, you know, I'm not feeling too good. And Sam goes, same. You're like, oh, that's not what I wanted to hear.
Yeah. And Dean is very upset.
Mm-hmm.
And he does tell Emmanuel, he's like, you know, I used to be able to shake this kind of stuff off, but you know, with this Cass thing, I can't.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting. Cass, he can't do it. It's just, it's too painful. It hurt too much.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like Dean is just, he's really missed Cass so much. And he's just telling him this. He's like, he won't remember because he has no context for this. So he thinks he's Emmanuel. He doesn't know that he's Cass. He doesn't know that I'm telling him this and how much it hurt me.
Well, this goes even for later seasons too, that this always reminds me of, is Dean doesn't immediately tell Emmanuel who he is because He doesn't want to bring him back to life. If he's happy with this wife of his with no memory, Dean's going to leave him there. He just needs his help to save Sam, and he'll be on his way.
Oh, are you saying that Dean is protecting Cass?
Mm-hmm.
From the horrible himself. Thing? Yeah, pretty much from, like, the things he's done, because he knows that would...
Shatter him.
Really hurt Cass. Mm-hmm. Because he was just trying to do the right thing. He was just trying to help, and it just backfired so bad on him.
Mm-hmm.
And he knows that would be, like, awful. Like, I remember that he's trying so hard to protect him from Meg. He's like, do not trigger anything in him. Oh, my God. Do not make him remember.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, this is so cute. He's trying to protect Cass, even if Cass won't remember him.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like it's kind of like a Lisa Ben parallel. Because even...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because he's like, you know what? Let's get rid of their memories so they don't remember me. And that hurt Dean. That hurt Dean. Mm-hmm. But... It was so they would be safe.
Yeah.
Because if they don't know anything, no one and nothing is going to come after them.
Well, I'm actually glad that you brought this up, because I do remember, because once Emmanuel figures out that he's not who he thinks he is, Dean kind of immediately lets the cat out of the bag. However, he didn't do that with Lisa, because he knew that Lisa would say, don't erase my memories. And of course, he's like, I don't care what you think. I'm going to do it because of your safety.
Right.
But Cass saying, you need to tell me so I can fix this and I can do this. It's different, because Dean says, okay, I'm going to give you your memories back. Why?
Yeah,
and I know he wants Emmanuel to help Sam, so that could be the reason. But I do find it very interesting, though, that we see this parallel between Cass and Lisa on this. And Lisa didn't get the choice, but Cass now has the choice of, wait, I can get my memories back? Maybe I should.
And I mean, Dean tells him, he's like, you know, being an angel, it's bloody, it's corrupt, it sucks, it's awful. The way that you are is better for you.
Mm-hmm.
This is really a better outcome for you, because what happened before was horrible. It was terrible.
But Dean still gives him the choice to get his memories back, almost, kind of. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, I mean, he does... Cass does say, he's like, I want to remember. I want to know.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want just this blank space.
And here. Dean allows that, I would say. Almost, or, you know what I mean? It's different. If Lisa found this out and said, I want my memories back, Dean. I want my memories back, Dean. I don't think Dean would listen. I honestly don't think he would. He would just say, nope, it's for your own good, and move on.
Let me tell you, it is for your own... Well, that's because Dean just desperately wants Cass back.
Yeah, I know.
Remember how important Cass thinks that Dean is, and to have Cass remember how important Dean thinks that Cass is, if that makes sense.
Well,
they're sort of how important they are to each other.
This goes back to the whole thing with Dean and Lisa, is Lisa is breakable, I almost say, and Cass is not, and Cass can take care of himself. So he needs Cass back, because he won't technically die on Dean as easily as Bobby or Sam, who are human. Dean, even though they can come back to life, but Cass can take care of himself pretty well. He doesn't have to worry about Cass dying 24/7 as maybe Bobby or Dean.
Right. Dean.
Bobby or Sam.
Right. Dean worries about Cass because he wants to worry about Cass, not because he has to.
Yes.
It's Dean's choice, sort of, in a way, to worry about Cass. To worry about what he's doing, what's happening to him, what's going on with him. With Sam, it's just a gut. It's just an instinct. It's just constantly worrying about Sam. But Dean being with Cass and deciding to be his friend and growing this friendship, relationship, whatever, it's a choice for him.
Mm-hmm. But Cass does get his memories back. I think this whole thing is interesting. I just want to point out the fact that Cass's first memory is a lot of them are of Dean.
Of course.
And I don't know if that's just because he's right there, but in my mind, I'm thinking because Cass knows that Dean is very important to him, and he has influenced a lot of his actions that he's done.
His most significant memories involve Dean.
Yeah, and that makes sense in my mind, that that's who he would remember first and say, oh yeah, like, I know this is why I did this now. And I do find it interesting that Cass and Dean's last interaction was not a positive one, because Cass does the same thing. We didn't part as friends, Dean. Why are you trusting me? Why do you want this? I'll go help Sam, but I'm not good luck. I'm not anything. I shouldn't be here. Why am I alive? I deserved to die. And Dean's kind of sitting here like, I don't care. So what? It doesn't matter. Dean says he knew Cass's motivations at the time, even though we just saw Dean being absolute pissed at Cass's idea, what he was doing with Crowley. He was so angry and so hurt, but he is so happy and does not care because now, past this point, Dean does see his motivations. He understands what Cass was doing. He understands that Cass also feels bad and understands that what he was doing was wrong inherently, but he understands his motivations a lot like Sam. They make the decisions, you know, the road to hell is paved with really good intentions, so he understands that. And Cass is very upset because at this point, I think Cass is sitting here going, I had my memory wiped. Dean, why didn't you kill me? I'm the monster that you're supposed to kill. Why didn't you do this? And that's why Dean explains, I knew your motivations. I know you're not inherently a bad person. As I just saw, Emmanuel is the same person that Cass I knew deep down. So I wasn't going to kill you because you just were hurt in a different way. You were influenced to do this by Crowley. I understand that this really isn't you. Too much heart was always Castiel's problem. Yep. It makes sense.
I mean, Dean is literally just like, so? We weren't friends then. I don't care.
I don't care.
Literally as long, it doesn't matter. It literally doesn't matter what Cass does. As long as he comes back to Dean, that's all Dean cares about.
And you could say it is because Dean needs Cass to help Sam.
Mm-hmm.
But Dean doesn't say it as, so what? You need to help my brother. Right. He says, so you're here with me now. You're back.
But you're with alive. Me again.
It's fine. Let's go help Sam now. Together. It seems a little odd to say that, to say so. It doesn't matter.
It's insane. It doesn't matter. Cass is there. His presence, the calming sort of angelic presence that Cass brings to Dean's life. He's there. He's here to help Dean. Even though he's like, we weren't friends. What do you want from me right now? Yeah. I don't understand. And Dean's like, I don't care. What do you mean? You don't understand what I'm saying.
Well, I think it's interesting. So there is a deleted scene that I thought is pertinent to mention. Because right. We do have this whole back and forth of what is canon and then what is text, like the textual aspect of the show.
Right.
And I believe that it should be noted because it was written and then apparently it was deleted out based on time constraints, whatever. Right. But it was film shot and written. Mm-hmm. That Dean does say, a part of me always believed that you would come back, and then gives his trench coat back to Cass. One that Jensen says that he kept and thought would be a good idea that Dean would keep, even though, Sierra, you've mentioned in season 7, they're on the run. They're moving cars. Baby is in lockup right now.
Mm-hmm.
So Dean is moving this coat from car to car to car.
He's consciously doing this and deciding to keep Cass's coat every single time he moves cars.
And you could say it's in his, like, bunk or whatever, mm-hmm. but why would he put his bag in there when he's staying in a hotel? I don't know. It just, in my mind, I'm like, okay, yeah, exactly. Right. But I did want to mention that because even though it wasn't said in the show, it was written down as that, mm-hmm. as Dean saying, I always thought you were going to come back to me or come back to us.
Right.
I always believed. I always had faith. And I always think that's amazing for Dean because Dean never has faith or believes in anything.
Oh, he had faith in Cass? Mm-hmm. I'm shocked.
I also, to me, believe the coat represents old Cass in how he acts because this is who he was. Obviously, Manuel is in this suit. Cass doesn't have to take the coat. But I think Dean giving his coat back to Cass saying, be this angel. Be this person who I knew back then. Even though you betrayed me, I understand where it's coming from, and I want you to be that same person who had doubts, that same person who, yes, went behind my back, but still had that heart to do that and to fight in the Civil War and have the free will that I taught you to do. Even though you made a mistake, I would still have you.
Mm-hmm.
And that is huge because that is what Dean says at the end of this season, season 7.
Right.
Pretty much says.
Right. And I really think the trench coat is when he gives it back, it represents, I want you back and your mistakes.
Yes.
I'm taking you and your mistakes back. I understand you made them, but they are a part of you.
Yes.
And I just want you, all of you, back
flaws
with
and all.
Me.
Yes. I want right. you. I don't care. I want you. Here's this dirty, bloody, Leviathan gooky thing that I've kept. I didn't wash because I wanted you to have it.
Right. Exactly.
Because I want you. Mistakes and all. I want you for who you are, not this changed person, not this changed person that I want you to be, not this changed person Maggie wants to be, not this changed person that heaven wants you to be. I want you, Castiel, in your free will. Mm-hmm. And then gives the coat. And after all this is said and done, we get the whole Cass takes Sam Hal trauma, yada, yada, yada. Cass is left with Meg because it's the safest.
Safest place for Cass to be, even though Dean, of course, would obviously want him by his side at all times, but his welfare comes first, so.
Right away, once Cass wakes up, Dean immediately goes. They just broke open this tablet, and Dean immediately goes because he's awake. And during this whole confrontation that we have with now crazy Cass, a different Cass, after he doesn't like conflict, you know, he goes off. Dean is the one that goes to him. And again, I get this whole bond. I know they have better chemistry. It wouldn't make sense character-wise for Sam to go talk to Cass. We know that. But I just still think, again, that it's telling. Dean does humor him by playing sorry with Cass.
For a minute.
I know. But, like, he still does humor him. I'm thinking Sam, at this point, was like, okay, yeah. Like, between both the boys. Or Dean by himself humored Cass, but Dean with Sam maybe wouldn't have humored Cass and played the game.
I feel like that's true, but then Sam would have been like, let's humor him for a minute and see if we can get him to, like... Like, Sam would take a softer sort of approach.
Yeah.
But Dean with Sam wouldn't take that softer approach initially just because of, again, blah, blah, blah. How Dean was raised. He's the big brother.
Yes.
Yeah, that whole thing.
I do find it interesting, though, that we saw this whole thing with Dean saying to Cass that he doesn't care. Yeah. But yet he's still pissed. And I think now that Cass is alive, Dean is allowed to feel these emotions that he didn't get to feel because he was just sad that Cass was gone.
Right.
He was sad because he didn't get this closure. Now that Cass is back, he's just pissed. They lied to him. He broke Sam's head.
Right.
And in my mind, I did want to ask the question of why do you think Dean was angry at Cass? Was he angry because he betrayed him? Or was Dean angry because Cass broke Sam's wall and hurt him? Because he knew that that was the ultimate hurt for Dean. In my mind, I think Dean is pissed because Cass broke Sam's wall. Not anything else.
Maybe. I don't even know if he's, again, like you just said about like angry being can be a whole bunch of different things. I think Dean at this point is more frustrated because, okay, of course, he's kind of upset at Cass for doing that. But obviously, Cass tried to rectify the mistake he made. I mean, he did take Sam's hell trauma. And he did go insane because of it. And so he tried to take that. But now Cass is sort of crazy. He's off his rocker. And Dean can't talk to him. And that's very frustrating for Dean. So they can't talk through the problems that they, you know, just had.
I wonder if Dean is trying to project his apology onto Cass. Kind of that whole it's not fair thing that you're going to yell at someone. And they're just going to say, okay, I don't understand. It's my fault. And again, Cass is able to be that person to Dean.
Mm-hmm.
Does this make any sense?
He's frustrated that Cass came back to him, but now Cass can't be that person for Dean that he'd missed so much because Cass is very different right now. And even though it looks like Cass and Cass has the same memories, he's kind of just bonkers and isn't really coherent and he can't really hold a conversation with him, which he's missed so much.
I think what I'm trying to say is I think Dean is angry that he has to tell Cass to feel bad for what he did, and Cass should apologize to Dean and kind of grovel because of what he had done. And Dean is kind of sitting here like, you should feel bad what you did. But obviously you don't, but I don't think Dean realizes how bonkers Cass is going.
Right.
And obviously in his own way, Cass is trying to apologize of the whole line, you're not sorry, you're just playing sorry. And I do like that line because I think Dean sees that Cass isn't really sorry for what he did. Because Cass knows he's not really sorry. He knew what he was doing at the time. He feels bad, not that he got caught, but maybe about the way he did it. I think he feels bad for Sam, but I don't think he really feels bad of trying to win this civil war that he was doing in the way. I don't think he honestly feels bad about not trusting Dean. I say that. I think in my mind, what I'm trying to say about feels bad is that he wouldn't have changed anything. I don't think he would have gone back to Dean if he needed help in his civil war, because in reality, he didn't want to pull Dean out of his life with Lisa.
Right.
So I guess that's what I'm trying to say is that Cass is sitting here going, yeah, I want forgiveness from you because I did mess up. However, I still stand by my actions. And I think Dean is looking for an apology from Cass that Cass is saying, I regret all of my actions, when Cass knows that's not true. And Dean knows that's not true. And so that whole thing of you're not sorry, you're playing sorry. You're saying sorry to me because I want to hear it.
Right. He's playing a part.
Yeah, he Cass exactly.
is literally just telling people what they want to hear. And he's like, oh, you know, I don't fight anymore. I'm just, I watch the bees.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not involved in any of this. I'm a changed person. I've moved on from this.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's not really processing
mm-hmm.
what he did. And I think Dean wants to see him process and apologize for that. But Cass can't apologize for this if, one, he hasn't really processed it. And two, he's bonkers. He's playing this part.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a sincere apology. It's just, you're playing sorry. You're just saying sorry to get me off your back. And that's not what I want from you.
Yes.
And I know you and I see through this.
Yes, yes, exactly.
And that's
exactly.
why it had to be Dean who goes to the day room to talk to Cass.
I don't think Sam would understand. I think he would have just been like,
this guy's bonkers. I don't know what's going on.
I don't know what to do. Dean's in here like, let me talk to my husband.
I know.
Kind of continuing on with later in the episode, I think it's interesting. It's after the conversation that Sam has with Cass that they're going to help him and Cass doesn't understand. I don't understand. So this just goes to show how lost Cass is. But I do find it interesting. Dean's conversation with Kevin. This is always the interesting part. It's never with Dean and Cass. It's never this stuff. It's the stuff after and outside that the boys talk about that I think is the most interesting. Because Dean tells Kevin that angels, they don't care. Angels as a whole don't care. They're not our friends. They're monsters. They're evil sons of bitches. He doesn't say that, but he does say that they don't care. They're not friends and you can't trust them.
They don't have the equipment to care.
They don't have the equipment to care. I don't think they can care. And to me, I think Dean is projecting because now he sees that Cass doesn't care. Cass isn't trying. He's playing this role.
He's just, I think, starting to, like, I don't know, rationalize why this is happening.
Yeah. And honestly, I think Dean in this moment, because now he's looking back to the man who would be king mm-hmm. and Cass not trusting him and Cass, like Amy, being this monster and not
manipulating him.
Yeah. Lying, seeing this whole thing betraying. That maybe Cass wasn't the best friend that Dean thought he was.
It was a whole manipulation.
It's the whole thing. Kind of the parallel between Sam and Dean saying, wow, I thought I could trust you more than I did. And then you stabbed me in the back like Sam right. with Ruby.
Yep.
And I think Dean is realizing that maybe Cass isn't this friend or isn't this being that he thought he could trust. Mm-hmm. When in reality, it's not. Cass is just really messed up and everything. And of course, there's a lot of miscommunication.
Right.
But Dean is, I think, stepping back going, yeah, all angels. I knew this. All angels are dicks. All angels can't be trusted. Mm-hmm. They do not have the capacity. And I think that also means Cass. And I've just been blinded mm-hmm. because of XYZ reason, whatever you want to put in, friends, lover, whatever you want to put in for that. I have been blinded and it is my fault. Man who will be king, Dean probably thinks it's my fault. I didn't suss him out. I trusted him. We probably could have nipped that in the butt way earlier if I noticed. Cass comes to him to talk to him. Dean probably could have been more sus than he was, but he wasn't because he thought this relationship was different. And that broke my heart, I think.
Why didn't Cass trust me enough to come to me about this?
Yes, yes, yes. Right. And so I think he's thinking, is it me, Dean Winchester, with abandonment issues, thinking right. everything is his fault? Is it me? What did I do?
Right.
It must be true, then.
Which isn't even the thing, because Dean, honey, he don't want to come to you because he don't want to take you out of retirement.
Mm-hmm.
And again, the miscommunication there.
Yes. And so we move on to the whole Hester thing that Hester comes in.
Oof. This is literally, like, there are a few lines in Supernatural that I think just, they get it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they just nail on the head here. And I think it's Hester coming in. You know, she's pissed off.
Mm-hmm.
Right? She's so pissed, and she's looking at Dean, and she's just, the very touch of you corrupts. When Castiel first laid a hand on you in hell, he was lost.
Yes. That is huge.
And that's facts.
I always love when other characters in Supernatural see this relationship here.
Mm-hmm.
Regardless, again, for someone to say that powerful line of the very touch of you corrupts, because then she continues on, when Castiel first laid a hand on you in hell,
mm-hmm.
he was lost. How else do you take that?
I mean, as soon as he came in contact with Dean, there was nothing anyone could do about Cass's actions.
And Dean almost looks, because it cuts to Dean, yeah. and we see Dean. He looks kind of like,
a little shook.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying. Or I know what you're talking about.
I influenced Cass. We are here. Cass was here.
It was definitely made a choice my fault.
Because of me, yeah.
It was definitely my fault. It was not Sam. It was not any of this. It was mm-hmm. definitely me.
Yeah. So we get the next episode. Another example of people seeing this sort of relationship between Dean and Cass outside of their immediate circle mm-hmm. would be Meg calling Cass Dean's boyfriend. Her, I think the exact thing she says was like, you go talk to him. He was your boyfriend first.
Yeah, I forgot about that. Yeah. I know it's just jabs, but Balthazar did that. And I know Meg kind of liked him.
It adds up.
But how many times? Again, one time. Okay. Two times. It's coincidence. Three times. It's pattern. How many times are you going to mention this?
Hester, I mean, come on.
How many times? Yeah, seriously. Well, I think it's interesting, too, because Dean does try to convince Cass to come help him with Dick Roman so he could clean up his mess. But ultimately, he respects Cass's wishes to not going back into the life, which is funny going forward kind of in season 9, because he doesn't want Cass in this battle, I want to say.
Sure.
He wants him safe. If he says, I want to get out, I don't want to be in it,
fine.
Stay out of it. Dean doesn't respect the wishes of I'm bad luck because Dean knows that's not true. But if Cass legitimately said, I don't want to be a part of it, Dean would say, okay, I respect that decision of you wanting to stay out of it because that's not fair for me to ask you because I would want to get out. And so for you to get out, that's amazing.
Right.
But however, Dean needs Cass and he kind of influences them to come with him too. The whole, I'd rather have you cursed or not. I know Dean understands that what Cass is saying is kind of bullshit. I think Dean sees that Cass is trying to make excuses not to come with him because I think Dean thinks that Cass
right.
thinks that he's bad luck for Dean. Mm-hmm. And Dean doesn't give a shit
yeah.
because, again, he'd rather have him cursed or not. He'd rather him be there regardless if he's bad luck. Again, he'd rather have Cass in all of his mistakes than not have Cass at all.
He just wants Cass to be there with him.
Yes. You could say he wants Cass to clean up his mess, but why would you say I'd rather have you cursed or not? I'd rather have you with me because you could help me.
You could claim Dean's being manipulative, but that's like just not really who Dean is.
Yeah.
And that wouldn't really make any sense.
He wants Cass's help. Even though if he is crazy, he thinks he could bring something to the table.
I mean, he can.
Even if it's just moral support.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, he literally just wants him there.
And the funny thing is, they didn't even know that Cass could see all the true Leviathans beforehand. Right. He just wanted him there to come help him out and maybe keep an eye on things or just play a part in all of this.
I mean, I think Cass's presence kind of just levels out Dean.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's also kind of like a comfort thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like how Sam and Dean are like a really good team and just working together, those two. Is sort of a comfort. It's familiar. It's a pattern for Dean. Yeah. And being with Cass and like hunting with Cass, fighting monsters, same people hunting things in the family business with Cass is comforting to him and he's missed it.
Well, it's the whole thing too. And we've gone back to this many, many times. I feel like, it's the last one on Earth. Dean thinks that they're all going to die. So I'd rather be with you mm-hmm. in my death, whether all of us die, some of us die. If Sam dies, I'm going to need you. If I die, I want to be with you and my family, regardless of what you think of their relationship. Dean wants to be with Cass and Sam in the end. Or if Cass were to die again, at least he'll have that closure of, oh my gosh, goodbye. I love you. Right. Again, if the family sense or romantic sense, mm-hmm. I will miss you and he'll have that closure too.
It's kind of like in 5 when he just wanted to hang out with Cass on their last night on Earth
mm-hmm.
before confronting Raphael.
Just to go out with
Bang. Just to hang out with him.
Yeah.
He's supposed to hang out with Cass. Is that so much to ask?
I know.
Apparently the universe says yes. I say no.
They just want to die together.
They want to die for each other. Like idiots.
Wow, I didn't think we were going to have this much to say about season 7. I don't know why. I just didn't think we were going to. We should probably cut this episode here, and then we'll talk about season 8 in the next one. I don't think anyone wants to listen to us babble on for hours and hours and hours. So.
No, we don't even want that. Editing this will be a pain in the ass.
So thank you all so much for listening. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at Hunter Hosts. Check out our other podcast where we rant about the normal episodes of Supernatural and not Dean and Cass. Also, please listen to our part 2 of this, even though it's more of the season 8 relationship of Dean and Cass and maybe something more? Anyway, we are your Hunter Hosts. I'm Graham.
I'm Sierra.
We're driving off, and we will see you all next time in our rearview mirror. Bye!
Okay. Got a lot of shit to cover stuff.
No!
Bro, we got like 2 hours worth of shit to cover. If
oh, shit.
Season 7 was any indication. Let me get a pretzel, though. Let me get a fucking pretzel crisp. Oh, my gosh.
Okay, let me start this right.
Let me grab